Talking benefits.
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 Talking.
Talking.
Talking
benefits.
You're listening to Talking Benefits, the podcast brought to you by the International Foundation of Employee Benefit Plans. Every month, we dive into retirement, healthcare, hot topics and trends, and whatever else the benefits industry throws at us. I'm Justin Held.
I'm Julie Stick.
I'm Ann Patterson.
Let's talk benefits. Guys, the best day of the year is coming up.
Are you talking about Treat Yourself Tuesday?
No, it's my birthday.
Are you talking about opening day for baseball?
National Diet Coke Lovers Day.
All knows, but those are all great days. National Employee Benefits Day. It is held in early April every year to recognize the incredible work everyone working in employee benefits has done for the industry, their dedication to providing quality benefits, and the important and really life-changing role they play in their colleagues' well-being. And this year, it's April 2nd.
Well, of course, NEBD is really the best day of the year, especially for us benefits nerds.
Yes, and Anne has a pretty big hand in creating National Employee Benefits Day. So, Anne, what is the theme this year?
Yeah, well, this episode is actually going to focus on the theme of NEBD this year. So it's a bit of a preview. And the theme is creating community to combat loneliness.
Well, now that's an excellent choice and a topic we can really spend some time discussing because it's such a huge deal for workplaces everywhere.
And I think the biggest thing that I'm learning about loneliness is the physical and mental toll that it can take on a person. It is a growing public health crisis with profound effects on health as well as life expectancy, which also impacts the workplace, of course. One study compared its mortality effects to the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow. Now, in May of last year, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services released a report called Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation. And it detailed the health crisis's harmful impact on individual and societal health. The report featured an advisory from the U.S. Surgeon General on the healing effects of social connection and community.
And we're learning that the workplace is such an important place to help people build connections and create that sense of belonging and community. This leads to happier, more productive employees and stronger workforces.
So let's break this episode into three sections. What is loneliness? Because it's not as simple as you might think. The impact loneliness can have on the workplace and what employers can actually do about it.
So I will start with helping to define loneliness. Loneliness isn't actually being alone. You can be surrounded by people, but still feel lonely. According to Dr. Jeremy Noble, author of the book Project Unlonely, loneliness is a gap that we experience between the social connections we would like to have and the ones that we do have.
And Dr. Noble defined three types of loneliness. One is social, so feeling like you don't have anyone around, like you don't belong anywhere and are disconnected from others. The second is emotional loneliness, or feeling abandoned or excluded. And then finally, existential loneliness, which is feeling separate from the rest of the world, feeling misunderstood. So if a person doesn't feel like they have quality connections in their life, they could feel one or all three types of loneliness.
That's right, Anne. And we've talked a lot about stress and burnout in the workplace and often about benefits like flexible scheduling and time off to deal with these issues. But loneliness directly impacts stress and burnout as well.
Now, I found it interesting that loneliness can affect anyone, but overall, older adults and young adults are most likely to experience it. So this means that younger employees who are new to the workforce are some of the loneliest.
One common symptom of loneliness is an increased risk of withdrawing from self-care, meaning that a person might not manage their pre-existing mental or physical illness effectively if they're lonely.
So now that we've defined loneliness a little bit more, how does this impact the workplace? Just like any challenge, employers bring their loneliness issues to work with them. Remote work and other common workplace policies can intensify that issue. The impacts can include reduced productivity due to health challenges, as well as reduced engagement and collaboration with colleagues.
A Project Unlonely case study found that lonely employees cost 22% more per year in medical and pharmaceutical costs.
Loneliness affects such a diverse group of people, all experiencing different circumstances and life changes. And the reason people experience loneliness are complicated and can be a result of their personal life, work life, or community, or a combination of these things. So because of this, there's no easy solution.
That's right. And working to understand loneliness and promote social connection are key to addressing this epidemic, which is what brought us here today.
We actually just saw this concept in action. Did you guys see the viral Elmo tweet from a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, that was so cute.
So Elmo from Sesame Street posted from his official Twitter account, quote, "Elmo is just checking in. How is everyone doing?" And just 24 hours later, the tweet had 137 million views and still climbing.
And the responses were interesting because they showed that people were, in fact, not okay. And they had this opportunity and this platform to share the challenges that they were currently facing. So then Elmo tweeted back, "Wow, Elmo's glad he asked. Elmo learned that it's important to ask a friend how they're doing. Elmo will check in soon again, friends. Elmo loves you. Hashtag emotional well-being."
Wow. So that is pretty amazing. And what a telling example of how loneliness is such a widespread issue. Okay, so let's talk about the big role the workplace and employers can play in helping to combat loneliness and improve hashtag emotional well-being in their organizations.
Yeah, so the workplace is the single best place to create social capital. And this is a term that we're hearing more of, how social capital is the new currency of the workplace. It's basically the value derived from positive connections between people. So for organizations, without a new approach to building this social capital at work, employee isolation and disconnection will continue to grow.
And Julie, earlier you were saying like loneliness can affect anyone, but mostly older adults and young adults, so younger employees entering the workforce. Before the pandemic in 2018, there was a survey conducted by Cigna, and it found that almost half of Generation Zers identified as lonely. 69% felt as though people around them are not, quote unquote, with them, and 68% felt like nobody truly knows them. Other generations also identified as being lonely overall. Millennials came in at 45%, Gen X came in at 45%, Boomers came in at 42%.
Now, at the risk of sounding like a maudlin old-timer, I am going to mention the importance of having a best friend at work. Aside from how good it feels to have a bestie, data has shown that this can increase engagement and productivity. Now, according to Gallup, employees who have a best friend at work are significantly more likely to engage customers and internal partners, get more done in less time, support a safe workplace with fewer accidents and reliability concerns, innovate and share ideas, and have fun while at work. Now, I had my bestie, Kelly Colesrud. You all remember hearing her. She's retired, but she is still one of my besties in life. She and I always used to say that we were each other's greatest employee retention device here at the foundation.
Oh, I love that. And shout out to Kelly if she's listening. So Gallup's data shows that having a best friend at work has become more important since the start of the pandemic, even considering the dramatic increase in remote and hybrid work.
Yeah, and I kind of have a similar story. I have a friend who started working 100% remotely during the pandemic. He's on a workplace team of about 10 employees, and they're spread all across the world. And as a company, all the employees located in the headquarters city get together just once a year. And he certainly gets along with his colleagues, but he just hasn't been able to build that same deep, lasting friendships that he's had at his previous job where he was working on site with colleagues every day.
And this is just one example. So think of the vast volume of others in the same situation. It's pretty sobering. I'm not trying to bash remote work. Hey, I love our hybrid remote work schedule at the foundation, but I'm just very cognizant of and grateful for the friendships and relationships that I've built with colleagues that I was able to do before the pandemic, and now that I have the opportunity to do so with our new employees.
So true, Julie. That's a great example and great stories. I'll share a quote from Dr. Vivek Murthy. He's our U.S. Surgeon General. He said, "Companies that create programs to tackle structural loneliness have the power to drive change at societal level, not only by strengthening connections among employees, partners, and clients, but also by serving as an innovation hub that can inspire other organizations to address loneliness.
So organizations can have a big impact as we tackle this epidemic together. I think leaders can start by creating a culture of belonging so workers form that sense of connection personally and within the workplace. First, by accounting for unique employee perspectives. For example, women are 30% more likely than men to say their employer doesn't offer a culture of health and well-being. And women of color are 22% more likely to have thought about quitting due to health and well-being concerns.
Another way to cultivate that sense of belonging is by training managers how to approach mental health with their employees, looking for ways to destigmatize discussions on mental health in the workplace. Benefit teams can normalize mental health challenges by hosting workshops, lunch and learns, support groups, and webinars with experts who can talk about various mental health issues. Employees need to know that they are not alone in their struggles.
Managers and other employees in leadership positions are among the most important resources for nurturing this sense of belonging. A present and active leader can do a lot to make employees feel welcome in the workplace, while frontline workers without supportive management are up to 4 times more likely to quit their job.
Now, with his Project Unlonely initiative, Dr. Noble has developed programming for organizations around the arts and their ability to help people connect. The creative arts offer a unique way to engage, inspire, empower, and connect. And these tools are all effective in helping individuals feel less lonely and more connected.
And loneliness awareness and reduction activities like music, theater, dance, visual arts, language arts, craft and textile arts, culinary arts, and gardening can be included in your health benefits, mental health offerings, diversity and inclusion initiatives, and employee team building programs. So let's all get together and write a terrible haiku together.
At least we're together writing the terrible haiku.
I think that could be fun.
Some 5-7-5 action.
We could bring back our knitting and crocheting circle at lunchtime.
Yes,
that's a possibility.
All good ideas. Loneliness is so personal, and every organization is different. I just read about one company that offers a 333 perk. So they pay employees to hang out with each other, essentially. The program lets 3 or more employees expense food and drinks if they go out together after 3 p.m., and each person gets a $30 budget. And I think the only rule is they have to post a photo on their company chat or something. So this definitely wouldn't work for every organization, but I thought it was a fun, innovative idea for building community.
Now, our organization likes to do simple things that bring staff together from different departments. We've got, for example, a cribbage league, and I know Justin's involved with that.
Yes.
We do bocce ball games on the front lawn. We have a book club. We've done office Olympics. We have game nights, and those are just to name a few things that we do.
Yeah, it's really just about finding out what works for your company culture for bringing people together and creating those meaningful connections, whether that's a happy hour, whether it's an art project, or that friendly cribbage league that we talked about.
Well, I saw your last cribbage match, Justin, and it did not seem friendly. You were pretty intense over there with your pegging.
It went down to the wire, so it got a little intense. I apologize. Yeah.
Well, we are excited to bring more resources to our listeners, our members, and the benefits community this National Employee Benefits Day, which, as Anne mentioned at the outset, is Tuesday, April 2nd.
And there will also be a free webcast that's open to everyone. So if you enjoyed this podcast, you'll definitely like the webcast. It's usually our webcasts are only for foundation or society members, but everyone can join in and tune in. It's April 2nd at 1 p.m. Central, and it's on this very topic, the loneliness epidemic. How did we get here and where do we go from here? And our speaker is brilliant, Dr. Anjali Ramesh Babu. She is a health and social psychologist, an expert in applying science to healthy living and social connectedness. She's currently engaged in developing public health guidelines for social connectedness in Canada. So definitely worth tuning into this in a couple of weeks.
That's right. We're all very excited about that. So you can visit ifebp.org/benefitsday for all the details and more information on the best day of the year.
The best day of the year.
The best day of the year.
No question.
If you like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes. It helps others find the podcast. and subscribe to the show in your podcast app so that our episodes will automatically appear on your mobile device. Talking Benefits is a production of the International Foundation of Employee Benefit Plans, the largest educational association for those working in the benefits industry. If you're into benefits, check out all the International Foundation has to offer at ifebp.org. Our show is hosted by Julie Stick, Justin Held, and me, Ann Patterson. Produced by Stacey Van Alstyne and edited by Sam Chudler. Today's program is copyrighted in 2024 by the International Foundation of Employee Benefit Plans, all rights reserved. The opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers and not to be used as legal counsel. I was seeing what your beverage was today, but it's the same.
I did. I went with the pink grapefruit.
Justin
again.
And I have our coffee. Do you doctor yours or do you go just black?
This is straight up.
Yeah, same.
This is the one day a week I drop Lennon off of my parents.
Oh.
And so my dad's got the Dixie cup.
Oh, so this is from your parents'
coffee
shop. The
insulated Dixie cup, pink Dixie cup waiting for me.
That's
I throw the girl and grab the cup.
That's adorable.
He's
that's
a good
really
dad.
Cool. Yeah. He probably buys those to-go cups just for you.
He does. He's
that's
all
really
over
sweet.
It.
That is really
does
cute.
Does he still listen to our podcast?
He does.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, he is the best dad.
He is a good dad.
Even in retirement, there's no benefit implications for him whatsoever. So.
But he still listens.
That's really nice. Maybe he should be our shout out today. Justin's dad for keeping him caffeinated and being our number one listener.
Yeah.